If you have your Bible this morning, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 will be our key verse this morning. We'll read it here in just a moment, and we'll come back to it here as the sermon unfolds. You know, as we started singing that last song, Take My Life, I'm reminded that growing up, when I was a new Christian, I really liked that song. If you were a Christian in the 90s especially, you sang that song a lot. It has a nice, slow, rhythmic pattern you could use as an invitation. They would do it through the worship service. It was very well used, and I sang it a bunch before I realized I really didn't understand what I was singing. Have you ever done that with a song? You're kind of singing the words, and then you look back and you go, what did it just say? What am I committing to here? What is the Lord making me do? So we had these words like holiness. Holiness is what I long for. And I realized, do I really long for holiness? And not because I don't want to long for holiness. I do. That's what Christians are supposed to do. But what is holiness? You know, what am I longing for here? Okay, faithfulness. I got a little bit better grip on that one. I need to be faithful and obedient. And okay, I want to long for being faithful to God. And then that third verse really kind of messed me up. Righteousness. Well, the only experience I had with righteousness was people who were self-righteous. And I didn't think that was such a good thing. And so I sang this song for an entire, you know, service. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't know what it is I'm singing. Even the chorus was a little hard for me as a young Christian. Take my mind and form it. Okay, I'm okay there. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind and transform it. You know, all of a sudden God's doing brain surgery and I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work. Take my will and conform it. Okay, I don't even know what that's supposed to look like in my life. And so I realize I'm singing these words over and over and over again. And these two words especially, holiness and righteousness, had me completely thrown off. No clue what I'm singing for. Now, if we did a straw poll this morning, how many of you all want to be more holy this morning? Go ahead, you can raise your hand if you want to be. If not, you're in church, so at least lie about it, okay? How many of you all want to be more righteous this morning? That sounds good, right? All right, we're in church, let's be more righteous. Now, how many of you all know what holiness and righteousness looks like? Yeah, right? Let's be more holy and righteous, but we have no idea what it is we're singing. So it's a wonderful song. I hope we sing it again in the not too distant future, but this morning's message is going to look at righteousness. What is righteousness? What are we longing for? What are we searching for? What are we seeking out? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I hope you've turned there with me. If not, you can follow along on the screen. It says, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is one of these verses in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that is an amazingly powerful picture of the gospel summed up in one verse. However, if you read it for the first time, you step back and go, who was sin, who was not sin, and how in the world will we become the righteousness of God? It's a verse worth memorizing. It's one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. And yet, if we don't understand this word, righteousness, it can completely be lost on us. So as we continue our series this morning on Christianese, words and concepts that we are looking to find the meaning to, we say them and we participate in them, but we don't know what they mean. This morning, we're looking at righteousness. If you have your bulletin, you can follow along. There's some fill-in-the-blanks in there that you can fill in as we go. While there's several blanks, only two main points that we're going to be looking at this morning. And typically, I've been giving you synonyms to these words, or synonyms to these ideas. This morning, I'm just going to call them similar words. Not because I have a hard time saying synonym, but because these words are not necessarily synonyms or exactly the same thing, but words that we think about or words that we can associate when we think of righteousness. They're words like holiness. We've talked about that one. Words like justify. Words like morality. And words like doing right. So when you think of righteousness, when you think of this word, I want you to work backwards. I want you to think of righteousness is like doing right. That's not an exact synonym. It's not a perfect analogy, but that's a good way to help us to start thinking. If we're going to be righteous, we ought to be doing the right things. Or morality. If we're going to be righteous, our morality ought to have a certain standard to it. We ought to be living up to a certain standard of moral action. To be justified. This is a word we're going to look at in that verse, 2 Corinthians. We are now made right with God. Our righteousness means we can now have a relationship with God. We are just or fair or made right. And holiness is very close to a synonym for righteousness. It's the holiness of God. His perfect holiness. The fact that He never does anything wrong. He always does what is right. That is what we are striving for. So all of this maybe not, doesn't clarify or clear up what the word righteousness means, but I want to spend some time looking at this word this morning and coming back to our key verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 towards the end of the message. First thing we have to understand to know righteousness is there's a strong connection between righteousness and doing right. There's a strong connection between righteousness and doing right. Now, I'm very careful how I phrase this sentence. It does not mean if you do things that are right, you are righteous. And it does not mean that just because your actions appear to be good, that makes you righteous in God's eyes. But there is an extremely strong connection. And it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Which came first? Is it the righteousness that comes first, or is it the doing right that comes first? Is it that we do good things and that makes us righteous? Or we are a righteous person and therefore we do good things? So let's look at that connection in Scripture. 1 John 3:7 says, "Children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He, God, is righteous." So we see the connection. The one who does the right things is a righteous person. If you want to know if someone is righteous or not, a good way to kind of look for evidence is, are they living in a right manner? Are they doing the right things that God would call them to do? There's a strong connection between righteousness and doing right. This goes all the way back, not just in the New Testament, but to the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we read in Genesis 15 that Abraham believed God, he had faith in God, and God credited to him, gave to him righteousness. Again, it wasn't Abraham's actions, it was his faith that God then made right. If you have your Bible open, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. There's a passage that really kind of lays out a good example of those who are doing right, those who are righteous. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, gives us kind of a good barometer that we can judge ourselves by. So read that with me. Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 5. "Suppose a man is righteous and does what is just and right. He does not eat the mountain shrines or look at the idols of the house of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman during her menstrual impurity, which would have broken the Old Testament law. He doesn't oppress anyone, the negative, but returns collateral to the debtor. There's the positive. He doesn't commit robbery, again, the negative, but he gives bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing, the positive. He doesn't lend for interest or keep profit, but keeps his hand from injustice and carries out true justice between men. He follows my statutes and keeps my ordinances, acting faithfully." Suppose there's a man who does all of these things. Such a person is righteous. He will certainly live. This is the declaration of the Lord God. So suppose a person is a good person and does good things, stays away from bad things, and does everything right. See the strong connection between what a person does and his righteousness. So we see this very strong connection that our actions and our righteousness somehow are married together. They fit hand in hand. So the application to start with is you cannot be a righteous person if your actions do not line up with the Word of God. Because our righteousness and our doing right are interconnected. Our definition this morning, God's righteousness, is following God's law perfectly. Yes, make sure you include that last word. Following God's law perfectly. The only way to be righteous, the only way to be made right before God, is to follow God's law perfectly. This is a commandment all through Scripture from the very beginning to the very end. And some of you are already giving me looks that I figured you would have, because Scripture wants us to have those looks. The, oh no, that's the only way to be made righteous is to follow God's law, not mostly, not partly, not when it's convenient, not accidentally, but to follow it perfectly. We read in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus tells the people, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you don't know who the scribes and Pharisees are, they're extremely, extremely religious people. And it's not just that they come to church every Sunday. The Pharisees were by the standards of the people, perfect in their righteousness. We find this out because Paul tells us, when he's later writing to the church in Philippi, he tells us that he once was a Pharisee. And he gives us some information about how he acted as a Pharisee. He says, I was a Pharisee, and regarding the righteousness that is in the law, I was blameless. I was perfect. And the righteousness you can get from trying to obey every law, Paul says, I did. So the Pharisees, they were obsessed with doing everything exactly right. And yet it wasn't enough, because what does Jesus say? Again, in Matthew 5:20, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses, goes above and beyond that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Here's what this tells me. You must be righteous to get to heaven. You have to be. I ask people this question all the time. So if you've heard me ask it before, you kind of have a heads up. I love asking this question. Do you have to be perfect to get into heaven? Yes, you do. You absolutely must. You have to be righteous and you have to be perfect. God cannot be in the presence of imperfection. It was a trick question. So about a third of you that said no, you're off the hook. But it's important to understand this. You must be made right. There is no way that any of us will ever enter the kingdom of God unless we are perfect and righteous, following God's law perfectly. This is a commandment in Scripture from the beginning to the end. You must be holy. God cannot be in the presence of sin. You cannot have sin in your life and be in His presence. You must be righteous to get to heaven. And the biggest problem with this is what we read in Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. What is righteousness? It's following God's law perfectly. And great news this morning, you can't do it. Nobody can. Not a single person who has ever been created, apart from the person of Jesus Christ, who can follow the law perfectly. Every one of us stumbles. Every one of us falls, every one of us makes mistakes, and every one of us is separated from God because of it. Our righteousness is incomplete. There is no one righteous, not even one. So what hope is there? What hope is there for us, then, if we cannot be made righteous? How could we possibly ever come before a holy, perfect, and righteous God? The reason why we ask these questions is because when we sing songs like righteousness is what I long for, and when we say words like I want to be righteous and I want to be made right before God, we have to understand that it is no small task. It's not as if you wake up one day and decide, today I think I'll be righteous. You know, today I think I'll do good things. Today my actions are going to reflect the things they need to reflect so that I can have a right relationship with God. It does not work this way. You have to be so perfect. You have to do everything so exact to the letter of the law that you cannot be righteous on your own. There is no one righteous, not even one. So how then are we to be made right? How then are we to long for righteousness? Our key verse this morning was 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, He made the one who did not know sin. That one person is the person of Jesus Christ, the only human being who ever lived, who lived his entire life and did not sin or displease the Father one time. God made the one, Jesus Christ, who did not know sin, to be sin for us. What happened on the cross is that Jesus Christ took all of the guilt from our sin, every last one of our wrongdoings, and He took the punishment there on the cross. So the one that was not sin became sin, punished for us. Why? So that in Him, Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. How is it that we strive for righteousness? Well, righteousness can only be attained through Jesus Christ. Only be attained in Christ. I wonder how many of us have spent years and years of our life trying to do the right thing. Striving so hard to get our life in order and make sure we're bettering ourselves as people. We've spent years, maybe decades, striving so hard to be a good person, being nice to others and making sure that we go above and beyond so that we do the right things. We ask which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, in Scripture it gives us an answer. The chicken came first. God created chickens. He did not create eggs. Guess what? God also gives us an answer. Which comes first, the righteousness or the doing right? Scripture tells us apart from Christ, we will not do right. But once you are in Christ, the actions should and will follow. Which came first? The salvation we have in Jesus Christ. He makes it able for us to be righteous. His sacrifice removes the guilt so that we no longer have to stay in our sin. We now are considered righteous before God. What happened on the cross is not just that He erased sin. Oh, He did that. So your shame and your guilt and your punishment is gone. But instead of just erasing our sin, He added to us everything holy and righteous about Jesus Christ. We changed places. So God doesn't look at you as a blank slate. In Christ, God looks at you as someone who is holy and perfect and righteous. Now, do you have to be perfect to get to heaven? Absolutely. And there's only one way to do that. It's not anything that you as an individual can do. It's who you put your trust in. It's your acknowledgement that you want to take the trade, that you want to accept the righteousness of God. Once you do, the actions should and will follow. It should be convicting if your actions don't line up with the Word of God. You should sit back and go, do I really and truly have a right relationship with God? Or am I just kind of going through the motions and hoping it's enough? Our actions should reflect. And if they don't, well, let us examine our hearts. Do we really and truly have our faith and trust in Christ? But once we do, the pressure is completely off. I love this idea that God doesn't look down on me and see Trey, the horrible, sinful person. Oh, I still sin. He doesn't look down at me and go, what a horrible, nasty sinner. He looks and he says, I see the blood of Jesus Christ. I see Him not just washed clean, but given all of the positive and perfect attributes of Christ. What is righteousness? Well, it is us living right before God. It is us doing the right things. And the only way we're able to do that is if we are in full submission to Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is the only way that we receive righteousness. So this morning, maybe you've been trying really hard to live a right life and do the right things. Maybe you've been fighting and trying to get all of your ducks in order, trying to be obedient and be a good person, and you're just tired because you don't think it's enough. Let me remind you this morning that it's not. You can work and work and work, try and try and try, and you will still find that there is no one righteous. Instead, this morning, I wonder if you would just look to the cross of Christ. I wonder if you would accept the exchange. Let the one who did not know sin, Jesus Christ, pay the punishment for your sin, so that you then can become God's righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, this morning I realize there are many, many, many of us who try to do the right thing and fail miserably. Lord, we wonder why our faith is weak. We wonder why we can't stay committed to you. We wonder why we struggle in our belief. And we try so hard that we miss the point of what righteousness is. Lord, righteousness does not come from within ourselves. It cannot. But righteousness comes from accepting Jesus Christ and letting Him take the punishment for our sins. Lord, as you transform our minds, as you conform our wills, as you change our hearts, Lord, let our actions then also follow. But first, Lord, first let us get right before you through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those in here this morning who have struggled with trying to do the right thing. Let them surrender right now. Let them plead and beg for your forgiveness, knowing that you will grant it to them unconditionally and point them to a new direction in life. Lord, we thank you for making us right and giving us righteousness. Now we pray, Lord, that we would live up to what you've given us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.